even though we're already in a peaceful place, shall we get more peaceful by making the sound of Om together, which is true, and the sound of Om is kind, and it's necessary. Now we'll take three conscious breaths. And with a deep in breath. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Now we can look and see. Was the sound of Om we made true? Was it kind? Was it necessary? We all have our own answers. I told Rev Russ after the sermon, I said, you've usurped our class today. All we taught about most of the things we're going to talk about today. In his sermon today, Rev Russ mentioned several ways of describing us. He said we can look at ourselves as having a personality, an individuality, we have a mind, we have an ego mind, we have a Christ consciousness, we have a divinity inside. What did I miss? Through the ways he described us. It was a good sermon. I think he mentioned other descriptors for us. I look at our little time together here as an opportunity to experience what's true for ourselves so that we can relate it to the labels, the words we hear. It's one thing to hear a label or a description. It's another thing to have experience of it. So I ask you all to join me as we endeavor to have an experience of who we are, the various aspects of ourselves. And I think that's what the Bhagavad Gita is after here. It's going to talk about aspects of ourselves in a little different perspective, this ancient Hindu perspective. Let's use it to see if we can gain a deeper experience of who we are. The particular aspect of ourselves that we're looking at is action. We're going on to another section of action, what we do. What we speak, what we type in our emails on the website, what we do. Our coming here today is something we did, an action we took. And the actions of our mind as we experience our class today. From the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of the Lord. We're going to jump into a brand new verse or sloka. Here we go. We ended with number 18 last week. Here is number 19. Whoever does things without desire for results is called wise by the sages. How can we have an experience of what this means? How can we have an experience of what this means? I ask you, have anyone here done something with a desire for a particular result? Give me an example. Anyone done something with a desire for a particular result? When you went to the car dealer, did you desire a particular result? What was it?
To get a good deal with the car.
Get a good deal, great, perfect. You went to the car dealer, and you did that, it was something you did, and you had a desire for a result, you got a good deal. Another example, something you did, anything, big, small.
Sure. When I plant my garden box, you know, I want it to blossom. And
all right, you plant the garden box, and the desired result is blossoming. How about you, Kathy?
Are making
you
dinner.
And what's your desire?
That I don't burn anything and that it comes out okay.
Okay, so Kathy does something, she makes dinner, and as she's doing the action, she has a desire that nothing burns. And it comes out okay, and the people who eat it like it, and
right, don't complain.
Don't get sick from it. That's a result, a negative result. You eat the dinner and don't get sick. Don't get too fat. Stay trim.
How about the desired result is that they enjoy it?
They enjoy it.
How's that?
And they make a point of telling you so. Gee, that was good. That may or may not be part of the desire. But at least if you see him enjoying it, that would be a result.
When you study, you want to have a good grade.
So you study in school where they give grades, and the desired result is you get a good grade. So you study hard, because this is a really strong desire. Because if you get a good grade, your parents go, "Atta girl. Good girl." And if you get a bad grade, they go, and maybe some punishment. They take away some of your privileges because you get a bad grade.
Your cell phone.
No more cell phone. No. Just take your cell phone away for a week. Bad
or
grade.
In my case, it was video games.
Video games.
There you go.
Good grade, video games. Bad grade.
No video games.
No video. We are trained by our parents to associate results with our actions. We're trained, it's built into us. It's so natural, we can't even see that that's what's going on. We don't recognize it, we don't discern this is what's going on. It just seems like the way things are. There's a word in Sanskrit for this, which is called karma. Karma is you do things and certain things result. Now, we know that sometimes when we do things, they don't turn out the way we wanted. Kathy burned a dinner. Sam got a bad grade and couldn't see the video games anymore. You went to the car dealership and they said, "Sorry, we're closed. Or we're not dealing with women today, only men." So we do actions with an expected result. It's just part of our everyday experience. And here the sloka says, "Whoever does things without desire for results is called wise by the sages." How could we possibly do something, ask yourself, without a desired result? Do you know anyone who's ever done anything without a desired result? Have you ever experienced it?
Sure. They're usually fully present without expectations of a result.
Give me an example from your memory, Stan.
Um, Even customer comes in, they're looking for something, and we explore. 3-4 hours later, they decide to buy the car, and they were not planning on buying the car.
My God.
No. So, you know, being fully present,
mm-hmm.
and me being fully present is equally important. Because oftentimes we're scared when we're buying as large purchase like
mm-hmm.
a car, or not as confident.
So if someone came in with a desire to buy a large car, they might be scared, perhaps, because of what might happen if they get the wrong one, or
right.
not as confident. Yet, sometimes you've experienced people who come in, they're just out for a job and saw the car dealership, whatever, said, oh, let's go look at the cars.
Usually there's a primitive, but if I'm fully present with that
mm-hmm.
particular energy of that customer, it usually turns out to be an understanding experience, a well-respected experience.
The point is, it's an example of someone who stopped by your car dealership without a desire for a car. I thought, let's just stop and look around and see what's happening. Good. Any other examples that you've experienced in yourself particularly, or someone else, doing something with no desire for a result?
Oftentimes when I'm playing it with growing up, you know, when we're parents are getting together and the kids just play, all of
yes.
a sudden the whole day time goes by and we're like, wow. I had so much fun, but where did the time go?
You didn't go play with the desire saying, I'm going to go play so I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play and play, and I desire to be happy and happy. No.
Right.
If you did, you probably wouldn't be, would you?
Right.
No, you just play, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
That's a good example. So as children, the wiring of action and result is not as tight as it is in adults. And children experience play. Any other examples from your life of when you did something with no result expected? Just doing something.
I think that it happens, as some say, that when you for example, when I was together with friends and colleagues, we were just having a good time, and we're happy, and then something came up, an idea or something, and then we built up something wonderful that nobody expected and we never planned or anything.
Good. So your friends and colleagues, with no expectation, just to be with them, and something came up, and it seemed right. So you made that happen, and the result showed up that you hadn't planned on or expected.
I recently, a friend of mine, we're on politically completely opposite poles right now, so it's been difficult in
mm-hmm.
terms of, you know, our friendship in some respects. And so it was spontaneous on my part. We both enjoy jigsaw puzzles. And so I have this wooden one, right? Challenging, it's beautiful. So I said, you know, why not every couple of weeks we just get together and do the jigsaw puzzle? And it was just spontaneous, and so I hadn't even thought about any desired result or anything, but it's been really nice. And she said, it's like we were able to actually, without talking politics, we were able to realize and sort of talk a little bit about how, you know, we're like sisters and, you know, just sort of letting go of a lot of stuff and accepting
yes.
that there's other aspects of our relationship and our,
connection.
You know, connection, yeah, that are worth just having time with each other.
Yes.
And so we have a cup of tea and we sit down a couple of hours every couple of weeks. We sit and we do a
jigsaw
puzzle.
Good.
Talk about everything else. But but it's been nice. It's been nice. And it ended up, what I wasn't expecting, I think, was that it's really enhanced our relationship. It's
brought you closer.
Yeah, it did. And that's been really nice.
What I hear you saying, Kathy, is that there's a part of you that would like to get together with your friend and fix her and bring her around to your point of view and
normally, yeah,
correct
but I let
her.
That go.
I know you did,
yeah.
But there's a part of you
that
has a desire in her or with you to get together with the result. That she realizes that she's in error in her views, and you're actually right. Right.
But she's
you chose
she's absolutely the same way.
I know.
And there are aspects of her in other areas that are, we are like, we realize like, we're just going like different paths completely. But she was equally able to let go.
Right.
So it's not
both
just,
go.
Yeah. Both of us let go.
Well, this is such a great example because it shows you chose to get together without expecting a result, a change in any way in the other person.
Right.
Rather just to be.
Right. And we've sort of just
and keep you out, keep your fingers occupied with a jigsaw puzzle while you're together. But there was no expectation of any movement or change in the other person. Perfect.
Right. In that sense.
And it just sprang up with you as an idea, I heard you say.
Yeah, it was spontaneous. I hadn't thought about it ahead of time. It was like
so,
I found myself blurting it out.
So you remember that experience, don't you? When you blurted out, let's do it. And that's what this sloka is talking about. Whoever does things without desire, hey, let's get together and do a jigsaw puzzle for results, is called wise.
That's
by the sages.
So that means that she was wise.
It's called wise. We don't call ourselves wise when we do that. If we did, we'd be getting in the way because we would expect a result. We'd say, let's do a jigsaw puzzle together. Oh, the result is I'm wise and so
that's,
smart.
That's what I'm
No. No, whoever does things without desire for results is observed by others and called wise by the sages. But you didn't experience being wise, you just acted from your inner spirit.
That part, called wise by the sage, could you put it as a good thing coming to you or a miracle or something? If you put the first part on
it's the difference part. Between how we see things and how others see us. Kathy was just in the moment. It came to her, let's do a jigsaw puzzle. All right, and everything worked out. I didn't hear that she thought about a lot of results or anything. No,
it
just
was just a
came up.
Good outcome.
But someone else looking at it, like I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, I'm seeing that was a wise thing to do. And Kathy goes, oh.
Okay.
But the point is, you see, it's to help perhaps Kathy gain a new perspective on that experience of hers. Oh, I never thought of it as wise. I just asked her for a jigsaw puzzle. Ah, I see in the spiritual teachings someone looking at that thing I did would say that was wrong. Isn't that interesting? I just did it.
In the same context, in the language that we can use, in the compassionate communication language is the needs language, the universe of human needs. You know, there's, I'm guessing for Kathy in that moment, it was a need for friendship and connection.
Okay.
And to think of a strategy to meet that need was her.
I didn't,
like
well, hold on, sir. Hold on. I hear what you're saying. Sometimes we can consciously say, I have a need for this, and I think of a strategy. But in this particular case, and this is really important, what I heard Kathy say was she didn't go through any of that analysis.
No. It just bubbled up.
It bubbled up. So someone on the outside, the sage, you're performing the sage role now, could say, ah, I, as a sage, see Kathy was wise because she has a need and she did that. But Kathy was just in that experience. And this is so important to distinguish between our evaluative mind, approving, disapproving, this is right, this is wrong, and being in the experience. That's what we're not usually good at.
Right.
So we need to take our evaluative mind and says, well, this is the mechanics of how it happens, we have needs and so on. And this is smart, this is what I don't know. And just notice that sometimes things show up and we just do them. Here's another example for you, which I've used before. In the Olympics, the Olympians who do the best have a consciousness they take onto the ice rink, for example, when they go on the ice rink. Maybe they've been practicing for years doing triple and quadruple jumps and spins, all sorts of things, practicing and practicing. The coach told them, that was good, this is not so good. Raise your leg here, no, lower your leg here, twist there, and so on. And beforehand, well, let's see what dress am I going to wear, how's it going to look, what will people think, am I showing too little or showing too much, is the color, so that's all the sorts of things that go on. However, the Olympians who seem to excel are able somehow to let that go the minute their feet touch the ice, in ice skating, for example. And suddenly they're just in ice, on ice. And they're not telling their body what to do anymore. The body already knows what to do. It's been trained all these years. And they are there as a witness. Well, it's watching the body go through all of these things. And if the body ever interferes with, or the mind ever interferes in that process, just before that quadruple jump, for example, if the mind steps in and says, oh, I hope I don't burn the dinner, or I hope the guests enjoy it, or I hope I don't trip on the quadruple jump, often the athletes report later on they do make a mistake. They aren't able to complete that quadruple jump. But if they train themselves so their body just remains in that moment, they just let the body do it with no expectation of results. No, their mind aren't thinking, okay, let's let the body do it. And they do it, they go on. And later on, they said, what was that quadruple jump like? Well, I don't remember. I just was there doing things. I don't remember. But they will remember if they had a thought, I hope I don't trip or screw up. They'll remember that. But when you're in the moment, it's almost like you don't even remember, because nothing in your experience is touching the peace in your heart in any way. It's just there, peaceful. So you come out of it the same way you went into it, peaceful. You did your best. And then you go sit in a little box and look to see what score you get from the judges. A lot of times you see the athletes, they're all in the moment, they did their best, and then they go up in the score box and they change. Now they get in their heads and wonder, oh my God, I wonder what score they get. Sometimes they get great scores and they go, oh my God, I never thought I'd win. Sometimes they get not so great scores and they go, well, do better next time.
I remember, I have another example. I think it's sort of the same thing. It was about a job. This was like years ago, like 40 years ago. But it was one of my first jobs. And I think I had to have an individual interview first. Anyhow, I remember that didn't go so well. I was really tense. I had all wound up wanting the
with
desired
a lot of
result.
Desires.
Yeah.
You wanted
right.
a job.
I wanted the job. But it didn't go so well. So what happened, though, for me mentally at that point was I blew it. So I was able to let go of the desire. It was like I figured I lost it, you know. And I was able to just forget the brain, forget everything. And there was one more interview, and it was a group interview. So at that point, I didn't care. I cut everything loose, and I went into the group interview, and I got the job.
Of course.
So I think that's another example of just...
Right, you let go of the desire.
Yeah, I did. Because you went I thought I lost it, so I was able to let it go.
Yeah.
It seemed, and so I was myself, and I got the job.
You just did your best.
Yeah.
You got the job. But if you hadn't, that would have been okay too.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. That's what I was expecting. I was expecting I already lost it, so it didn't matter what I did.
Right.
So I was able to relax, let go, be myself. And I got the job.
Janice has a similar experience that she had. Remember when you got that job on SAFE, Janice?
Yes.
I'll tell the story quickly. Janice wanted to get a new job from the one that she had. Mm-hmm. And she heard about a lot of different jobs. And this one job that was way above her. And so, well... You know, before I apply for a job I want, it's a good idea to practice. Practice, you know, practice interviews, practice getting jobs. So I'll just go and practice what it's like to be in an interview and so on. So she went and practiced getting a job. Well, what happened?
She got the job.
She got the job.
Of course. Yeah, I've seen that happen with other people. That's a good thing to do.
She had no desire for the job built in, so that she manipulated what she said, tilted her truth so it wasn't quite the truth, to make her look good, or right, said things that were unnecessary.
Yeah, I used to tell my son all the time. I say, just when you go. Think of it all as practice. You're just practicing. And
same
if it's
thing.
Not that job, it'll be another one. Don't worry about it.
So now we see that we have had some experiences where we did actions without desire for results. And we did naturally, and somehow we learned that that's a good way to behave.
This is a great teaching. I mean, I think I have to pass it to my son, because as you said, see, this Saturday, Friday, my son left at the last minute an online class. And he learned the day before. He was doing great. He has A's on all his subjects. And this one, he was prepared. But he came so scared that day, because the previous test on Thursday, a girl flunked. And the girl started to tell everybody that she didn't know that if she... fails in this test, is the whole subject fail. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't add up or anything. The last one, you fail it and you fail the whole thing. And my son had good grades before, but in this final, he wasn't sure. So he was so scared since he came, and he said, oh my God, I didn't know, can you imagine, and this, if I fail, I win the loser. So he came with that, which before he was never worried or anything, because he didn't know. And then certainly, even though he studied like maybe 16 hours for this whole day, night, and everything, you know, he failed for two points.
Yes, so what I hear you saying was, when your son was studying with no thought of results, he was supposed to go to school, he went to school, he did what he was asked to do, and whatever happened, happened. Maybe he did well, maybe not so well, But when the girl scared him and said that if you don't do well in this particular one, you're in big trouble, and he got nervous. So he went into the test expecting bad results, good results, and he wasn't able to be natural as he was before. And therefore, the wise, the sages would not call him wise in that particular action. They would say his previous actions were wise.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not being in the moment without being in your head. The moment we get in our heads and our egos, all hell breaks loose.
So the challenge for us is, how do we experience more of life being in the moment without desiring results? It's great to hear this. We see sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. What spiritual practices are there so we can be more in these natural moments? And let's look and see what the teachings are. See, we can get some hints how we can. What time is it?
Like 2 minutes of.
Oh, we don't have time to do that, do we? Oh, well, we had a good discussion,
yeah.
Didn't we?
I've heard this in a very sort of Western way,
yes.
A very concrete way, and that is do the next right thing and leave the results up to God.
Yes, let go and let God.
Yeah, and that's a very concrete Western
mm-hmm.
way of saying that.
It is.
Would also apply that. Whatever you do, when you do the right thing,
so here's the challenge.
The result will always be what it's meant to be.
Yeah, what it's meant to be, in the sense that God's going to determine the results.
Letting go of even what is meant to be, but rather saying, once it happened, oh, that was meant to be, good. Let's open up and see what else, what's next that's meant to be. I don't know what's meant to be. To have that childlike approach to life. Well, I really don't know what's meant to be. And actually, I can see now, with spiritual practice, I'm not really much in control. Even if I were to desire a particular result, based on my experience in cooking, some meals turned out good and some got burnt, and I, you know, my desires. So I'm just going to do my best as a cook and see what happens and be happy no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it gets burned. I'll say, well, thank you, God. Go back to the kitchen. Open a can of soup.
Open a can.
Just enjoy the cooking.
Open a can of soup.
Open a can. So next week we'll look at some other spiritual practices so we can live more of our life in the moment. And what do when we get these desires? We're scared we're going to fail a test, or scared we're going to burn the dinner, or afraid nobody's going to buy a car because I need some more money this month, or whatever results. What spiritual practices can we learn to help us when our mind gets in the way? I'll give you a little hint from my own experience. Which you can take home with you because we need to close. And that is, sometimes when in my mind I'm desiring a particular result, I wish my daughter didn't do this. I wish my somebody did this. Sometimes while that conversation is going on in my head, not always, but sometimes, a thought will come up from nowhere, like, maybe I'll ask her to play a jigsaw puzzle with me. Just some thought comes up, I don't know where it came from. And in my past, I've ignored thoughts like that as a younger person because I honored my mind incorrectly. I honored my mind, my intellect, the ability to figure things out. And as I've gotten older, I've learned that it has a place. But when those ideas come up from someplace, my daughter said this thing and upset me. When this thing comes up from someplace, well, maybe I'll call her and we'll do a jigsaw puzzle. I have to honor those thoughts that I don't know where they came from. Honor them and not forget them and cherish them and hold on to them long enough to see if that's truly the natural self I am and the natural direction for me to go in. So to be aware that those natural, peaceful impulses are there within us, but we block them off with our desires and conversations. And just be open to noticing them when they show up and honoring them and not forgetting them and seeing if we've given some divine guidance in a very strange form. Let's play jigsaw. Doesn't seem like divine guidance, it just seems like an idea.
That's good.
Well, we need to close so you can go to the service. Any final comments before we close with an Om?
This is a great, great teaching for me, to pass it to my son, because I've never analyzed this way that you put it, and I never, you know, went that through on this. But it happened to be so true with what just happened to my son.
Well, great. So when you speak with your son, you can also use the three gatekeepers as you speak to him. Is it true? Is it kind? And in the case of your son, depending on where he's at personally, what's going on with him, at this moment, is it necessary? Is it necessary? You always need to be sure that people are open for the things you're going to say. They may be true.
So interesting.
They may be kind, but if they're not open to what it is that you, this wonderful knowledge you have to share, if they're not open, then it's not necessary at that particular moment to share. So can you be open for the necessary moment?
I was just saying, it's too bad that girl scared him, didn't go through the question, because she probably would have kept her mouth shut.
Right, it wasn't necessary to tell him that, was
right.
It?
Right, what necessary. Possible good can come
and it wasn't
from frightening
crying.
Him?
And it wasn't even true.
Yes, and she was crying and impacted my son so much. And
right. And
he said, like, you know, it's $500, Mom, can you imagine? Like, you know, I didn't know, like, oh my God. You know, and he was completely from there, because it's the end of this semester,
right.
And he aced on all his subjects.
Well, we got it. We got it. So we can look back at this, not for your son, or not for the girl, but for us. It's a teaching for us. Your son may not be ready to receive the teaching, nor the girl. But we got it. And since we got it, just by having the consciousness of the teaching, and just by being present with our son and the friends, that's all we need to be, is present. That teaching will rub off on the son at the time he's ready to receive it, just because we got it, and our presence is all that's needed. All that's needed. And one day, when he's ready, he's going to say, thank you, Mom. So we have to be open for any result. And then we stay at peace. So shall we do our three breath peace exercise? Let's take three deep breaths. And with a deep breath. This talk. When I came here to give it, I expected and had the desire I would go through all of the slides. And I didn't even get through one slide.
What a wonderful
well,
class.
Look at it. Just look at it
class.
This way. Think of all the lesson planning you don't have to do because it's getting stretched out so far. Relax. Enjoy it. Why not?
Thank you.
Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
Me too. I don't know what it's going to be.
Well, you know, you don't have to plan too far ahead.
Apparently not. It's my nature. I'm a planner.